And now we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. Our deacon of the week is Brother Harold Seifert. And so we'll be in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. If you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Give Harold your attention. And once he's done reading, he will offer up a prayer of invocation. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, last week we looked at the righteous judgment of the believer and how we are to judge others. Now, there is prevailing wisdom, and I will use air quotes because it's really not wisdom, because Scripture says that God will cause the wise to be foolish. And so there's many out there that believe that we as humans don't have the right to judge anybody. But Scripture tells us, and I hope I presented the compelling case for Scripture teaching this, that as believers, not only do we have a right to, but we are commanded to righteously judge one another. We have no place for judging the outside, the sinners. All we can do is present to them the truth about what God's Word says. If we know someone that is living outside the will of God, that are living in habitual sin, then it is up to us to tell them the truth of the gospel. And once we share the truth of the gospel, then it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. God will use us to teach others about sin. I don't know why you came to church today. I'm not going to even pretend to guess why you came to church today. Some of you came to church because you want a closer relationship with God. You want to know Jesus more. You want to be assured of salvation. You maybe came because you're curious about what goes on in church. Maybe you're here because it's your habit to come to church on Sunday morning. Maybe you're here because mama made you. Maybe you're here because your wife made you. I don't care the reason you're here. I'm blessed that you are here because God has a message for us every time we open His Word and we read. And so you are not here by mere coincidence. You are here because God ordained you to be here to hear this message. Why is it important that as believers we use righteous judgment? Today we're going to find out why. Because everybody in the world is in need of salvation. Because Scripture tells us, and we'll get to this in a few weeks as we go through Romans, but we find that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every single one of us. None of us have lived a perfect enough life that we can stand before God and say, I kept all the commandments. I never once sinned in my heart. I never had an impure or evil thought. None of us can make that claim. And so we are all in need of salvation, but what are we being saved from? Some people will say, oh, you're being saved from the devil. No, he doesn't have that much power. Well, you're being saved from hell. Well, there's some truth to that, and I'll give some latitude to that statement. You are saved from spending an eternity in hell. But what you're being saved from is the wrath of God. The very same one that offers salvation through faith by grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, the very one who ordained His own death on the cross and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. The one who, John 3:16 says, loved the entire world so much that He sent His only begotten Son. The very same one that saves us is the very same one we need saved from. It's God's perfect will, His perfect moral attributes that deem us unfit to be in His presence. His perfection and our lack of it is what separates us from God. And it wasn't God's will when He made the earth, when He made Adam and Eve. It was not God's will for man to disobey Him and turn away from Him. That was the free will that was given to us by Almighty God that caused the initial sin to enter into the world. It was Satan himself that rebelled against God and said, I want to be like God. And he approached Eve and said, don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to know everything that God knows? Don't you want to understand everything that God understands? All you have to do is eat of this tree. And she said, God commanded us not to eat of that tree or else we will die. Satan said, surely you will not die. Today he's saying, surely there's no such thing as hell. Surely God is so loving that He won't send any of His creation to hell. Surely you will be good enough to gain entrance into heaven. That's Satan's lies to us so that we will disregard the Word of God. Because remember, Satan didn't disregard the Word of God. Satan didn't say that the Word of God doesn't exist. All he said was, did God really say that? And so we are given the awesome responsibility of believers to warn others about the wrath of God. As I've shared with you all before, my job as a pastor is to make sure you're ready to die. That's what I'm here to do. Because believe it or not, one day we're all going to cease to exist on this earth in one way or another. Either our outer body is going to die and our soul be separated from the body as we step into eternity, or Jesus is going to rapture His church back to Him. But one way or another, we're all going to leave this earth. And my question to you is, are you ready to leave this earth? So we see that we are saved from the wrath of God, which is held for those who ignore Him, who deny Him, and who just outright sin against Him and don't care. And churchgoer, Christian, believe it or not, there are people out there that just shake their fist at God and say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But we are still not saved from giving our witness to those who are perishing. Over and over, Scripture makes it clear that we are to rescue the perishing. Scripture tells us in the Old Testament that when we fail to warn others, their blood is on our hands. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. And so we must be ready to give the message. But we have some uphill battles that we have to fight. Number one, the biggest sin that's out there is the sin of pride. And we find that the heart is hardened because of pride. Whenever we read in Scripture that God hardened someone's heart, we see that He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He hardened the heart of the Israelites. Why? Well, because God had a purpose. And he did not take a Pharaoh that was worshiping him and devoted to him and turn him away from him. He took a Pharaoh that was already disregarding God, denying God, and not wanting to listen to God's messenger. And all God did was take his spirit of redemption away so Pharaoh had no choice to turn to him. Same thing happened to the Israelites. They had already turned against God. They had already denied Jesus. All God did was for a time keep them from repenting. Their hearts were already hardened, and they were hardened by pride. Because your pride will tell you that you're not that bad. If I go around comparing myself to other people, maybe I won't seem that bad. But there are people out there that compare themselves to me and say, I'm not as bad as that guy. And so we can't go around pointing fingers and comparing ourselves to others. We have to compare ourselves to the Word of God. And the one that we compare ourselves to is the one who lived on this earth for 33 years and died for us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And so when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we fall woefully short of his example. So we have to deal with the pride of the unbeliever. Because a lot of people, if you just go up and talk to them, they think they're not that bad. Well, do you think you would go to heaven if you died? Well, yeah, I've been a good person. I've never killed anybody. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never done this. I've never done that. But then you start talking to them. Have you ever told a lie? And if you look at me and say, I've never told a lie, you just lied to the preacher. Because we've all told a lie. Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? Well, yeah. An ink pen, a stapler, this, that, or the other. So you're a lying thief right off the bat. You ever taken the Lord's name in vain? I'd say 99.9% of us absolutely haven't. We'd be willing to admit that, yeah, at some point in time we did. Have you ever put anything above God? Has anything ever been more important than your service to God? Yeah, we've all put other gods in front of God. We've all worshipped other things other than God. So now we're a lying, cheating, blasphemer, idol worshiper. Guys, none of us are fit to stand in front of God. And so God's judgment is going to come against those who've rebelled against Him. And through just a few questions, we've already found out that we have broken the Ten Commandments. Scripture says if you break one, you've broken them all. So we get into, you ever lusted for someone in your heart? Now, if you're sitting there with your spouse, don't nod your head yes. It's okay. But we've all done it. And so we have all committed adultery in our hearts. Have you ever hated someone? Yeah. We've all done that. We've all been there. We've committed murder in our hearts. And so your sin has caused you to separate from God. You committed murder when you sinned because it was your sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through faith in Jesus. And then we get those who say, I'm not afraid of hell. Hell doesn't want me. They're afraid I'll take over. That's the dumbest comment I ever heard anybody say. Hell is going to be a place where you are tormented and tortured for eternity. Satan is not the king of hell. He's not the leader of hell. He is trying to avoid hell as much as you are, but he can't escape it. He already knows how the story ends. So what does he want to do? In his pride and arrogance, he wants to take as many souls to hell with him as he possibly can. That will be his last offense and stand against God. As he is being thrown into the lake of fire, he can shake his fist at the Almighty God and say, I got more than you did. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. Some people will arrogantly think, I don't need to obey God, I just need to believe in him. That is a lie. started by Satan and unfortunately given by the church for many years. All you need is faith. Just faith. Just have faith. Say out loud the name of Jesus. You'll be saved. All they're doing is they're taking one text out of context. Because it takes far more than that. Jesus said that we can't call him Lord, Lord if we don't do what he commanded us to do. And then we fall into the trap of doing things in the name of Jesus without ever knowing him. You can come to church, put money in the plate, go to Sunday school. You can help your neighbor. You can feed the homeless. You can visit people in the hospital, visit people in prison, and never have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you're trying to do good works to gain favor with God so that hopefully you can get into heaven. But that's where Matthew chapter 7 comes in, when Jesus says, on that day of judgment, when people come to me and say, didn't I go to church? Didn't I preach? Didn't I teach? Didn't I serve on the deacon board? Didn't I work VBS? Didn't I do all this wonderful stuff in your name, Jesus? And Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because you did not have a relationship with him. You see, our good service and good works should come out of our salvation from Jesus, not trying to gain salvation from Jesus. Sadly, many people miss that point. They think they can do good enough, but they can't. And then many people will refuse to repent. Nowhere in Scripture is repentance left out of the equation. Everywhere in Scripture, it says to believe and repent. John the Baptist baptized for the repentance of sin. Jesus has called us to have faith and repent. Many of us can have faith, but we never repent because we like our sin a little too much. Instead, we'll make excuses and we'll twist the Scriptures around and cherry pick certain Scripture to uphold our sin. But when you stand in front of God, there will be no excuses for your sin. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, it says that pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Because in our arrogance and in our pride, we don't revere God the way we should. We dismiss Almighty God. Scripture tells us to fear God. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there have been many well-meaning preachers and teachers that try to tone down that word fear. Why? Fear just means to respect who God is. Fear just means to understand His place in the grand scheme of things and understand your place. Fear God. Because God is the one that will judge your soul into eternal torment forever and ever. We should fear God. And I'm talking about trembling, scared to death of the Creator of the universe. Not merely respecting who He is. Yes, we should absolutely respect who God is. We should respect His house. We should respect His Word. We should respect those He anoints and calls. But guys, we must have a fear of God. For if we don't fear retribution, then why do we live holy? You wonder why there are school shootings now? Do you wonder why there are so many murders in America and across the world? There is no longer a fear of God in our society. Because for years our children have been taught that there is no God, there is no eternity, there is no judgment, there is nothing to fear on the other side of death. So if you hate someone, why shouldn't you just go ahead and kill them? If you don't want to be pregnant, go ahead and kill that baby. If you don't fear God and the consequences of sin, just go out and whatever you feel like doing, do it. Whatever feels good, do it. Why do you think we have so many young people getting pregnant out of wedlock and then murdering the baby so they don't have to deal with the consequences of that sin? Because there is no fear of God in our society. But we are to fear the one who will judge us one day, because those of us who are saved, is we are saved from wrath. The wrath of God is something that we should absolutely be terrified of. Scripture paints it this way: on the day when God's wrath is being poured out all over the world, men will run to the mountains and beg for the mountain to fall on them so they could be hidden from the wrath of God. But there is nowhere you can go to be hidden from the wrath of God. David writes in the Psalms that if I make my bed in Sheol, there you are. God is everywhere, all the time. He's with you in your bedroom. He's with you at the bar. He's with you while you're watching that movie. He's with you while you're listening to that music. He's with you while you're reading that book. And folks, He can read your mind and know every thought that you have. That's why we are instructed to hold every thought captive and turn it over to Jesus. And we are called to be renewed in our mind and not be conformed to the world, because we are absolutely being saved from God's judgment of sin. Salvation refers to our deliverance from the consequences of sin and therefore involves the removal of sin. We are saved both from the power and the penalty of sin. Now, when you go out here in the world and you make a mistake tomorrow, which you're all going to do, you are not saved from the immediate consequences of that sin. You make a bad decision, you're going to have to deal with it. But if you have Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf, you don't have to worry about the eternal consequence of the sin that you commit. Unless, of course, you continue to commit that sin and choose to live in that sin, because once again, Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that those who engage in habitual sin, there's no longer a sacrifice for your sin. Oh, Jesus died for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. I don't need to worry. That is not what Scripture teaches. That is nowhere near what Scripture teaches. We must strive to do good. We must try to live holy. We must try to be as righteous as we can possibly be. We're going to be reading out of the book of Hebrews. This is going to be a fairly long scripture, but I believe it's very important as we talk about the wrath of God and the judgment of God that we understand exactly what God is teaching us through His Word. Because when we hear the Word of God, we're all going to make one of two decisions today. You're either going to choose to ignore it and bring judgment on yourself, or you're going to choose to obey it and find favor with God. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26, it says, "For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." Y'all listening to me? You hearing what I'm saying? You don't have to believe me. It's in the book. This is not my opinion. This is what God is telling us. 27 says, "But a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries." When you embrace the world, when you embrace sin, when you choose to deny and ignore God, you become an enemy of God. You are an adversary. When Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," Satan means adversary. He was not calling him the devil. He was calling him an adversary. You are fighting against me right now, Peter. You are denying what I'm telling you. You're thinking fleshly thoughts instead of spiritual things. So get behind me, you adversary. Verse 28 says, anyone who disregards the law of Moses died without mercy, based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? You know the Word of God. You know the truth of what happened on a hill called Calvary when Jesus was nailed to a cross and His blood was shed for the remission of sin. And you embrace that and say, Jesus, save me, apply Your blood to my life. And then just a few days later, you're out sinning like it never occurred. You're not putting Him back on the cross. He's already done that. You need to take very seriously what's going on here. And who insulted the Spirit of grace? Verse 30 says, for we know the one who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Terrifying. Fear. Don't merely respect God because he created. Fear God because He judges, and His judgment is righteous and perfect. And He's not going to ignore your sin on that day of judgment just because you're a nice guy. Just to say you believe in God and believe in Jesus and have knowledge of Jesus, that will not save you. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one? Good. That's awesome. You believe in God? Awesome. Great. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. They fear God. And they know Him more than you do. They know Jesus better than you do. They know the Word of God better than you do. What they haven't done is put their faith in Jesus. And we studied that a while back. They don't have an opportunity to put their faith in Jesus because they have been in the presence of Almighty God in His throne room. They were created by Him. They witnessed the making of the world. They witnessed God making man. They witnessed everything that God did, and yet they chose to fall away and follow Satan. And so they have no hope for salvation. But if you're here today, you do. Because number three, God wants you to be saved. He has called you here today to hear His Word. You are listening online. You are watching on Facebook, maybe YouTube. Maybe you're listening to this on the website. God has ordained you to hear His message today. Consider this a calling from Almighty God for you to be saved, because God absolutely wants you to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord does not delay His promise. What promise? The rapture of the church, the return of Jesus Christ as the King of the earth. Many people are saying today, for a couple thousand years, you Christians been talking about Jesus coming back. He ain't coming back. He ain't come back yet. What makes you think He's coming? His Word and what God told Peter to write down in his epistle. Because Peter tells us, many people will say on that day, Jesus hadn't come back. He ain't coming back. Don't you believe it. Because God has not delayed His promise, as some understand delay, but God is being patient with you. If you woke up today and you drew breath in your lungs and you opened your eyes, God's being patient with you. He's wanting you to hear His message. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to church, for all to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for all to put money in the offering plate. Oh, what's it say there? What's that word? I got to squint a little bit. My eyes are getting old. Repentance. Repentance. You must repent of your sin and put faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, Calvinists. Let me just throw that out there. I'll get some emails and comments off of that one. God did not appoint us to wrath. He did not make one single solitary person with the idea of sending them to hell. Even Judas Iscariot could have been saved. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you. God, that is the prosperity message that will be preached from this pulpit. Ain't got nothing to do with money, size of your house, kind of car you drive, your bank account, ain't got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with God loves you and wants you to be saved. He died a horrible death on the cross of Calvary. So much that Jesus knew what awaited him, and he poured sweat drops of blood as he prayed to the Father, deliver me from this. If this cup can pass from me, take it. I don't want to bear the sins of the world. And then Jesus said, but not my will, Father, yours be done. I'm so thankful Jesus said that. Because you know Jesus could have walked away from that. Jesus had a legion of angels ready to come down and rescue him from the beating that he was going to take on your behalf and his death on the cross. But understand that God loves you so much that he's not going to force you to love him. If you decide you don't love God, he's not going to force you to love him. He's asking you to love him. He wants you to freely seek him. And he wants you to give your life over to Jesus Christ, but he's not going to force you to do it. God wants you to know him. John 3:18 says, anyone who believes in him is not condemned, praise the Lord. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. You see, the argument goes, why would God make people that he knew would sin against him and that he would send to hell? God will judge. Jesus will actually be the judge. Jesus is God. I hope y'all understand that. But on that day of judgment, when someone is judged and their name is not found written in the book of life, they're already on their way to hell. God's not sending them there. They were born into sin. When they came to an age where they could recognize sin and make a decision, they were already headed for hell. They didn't need to be judged by God to be sent to hell. Their sin had already separated them from God for eternity. They were on their way to hell already, but God loved you so much, he said, let me give them a way out by faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sin. And so, I've got two questions for everybody within the sound of my voice. Number one, are you saved? Only you and God know that. Don't come to me and say, preacher, am I saved? I don't know. That's between you and God. But number one, are you saved? And if you say no, question number two, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Do you know there are people that went to bed last night anticipating getting up and going fishing or golfing or maybe even to church today? and they never woke up. They died in their sleep. There are people who have plans for tomorrow that won't live through today by the simple fact that we don't know when our life is going to end. We don't know when our time is up. I actually had a family member tell me one time, well, I'll come to God and I'll proclaim Jesus before I die. Really? That split second that you see the truck coming towards you, you're going to confess sins, repent, and cry out to Jesus and mean it in your heart? You can't do that. You have no idea when your life is going to end. So if you're here today and you're not saved, what are you waiting for? I get nothing off of you guys getting saved other than the joy of seeing another soul added to heaven. Now on that side, maybe I'll get another reward in heaven because another soul got saved because of what I preached. But guys, my preaching doesn't save anybody. It's the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit that will save you. But you have to make that decision. What are you going to do? Scripture tells us that once you hear and you decline, that's on you. Your blood is not on my hands. But one day you will stand in judgment of Almighty God, and the judgment of God will fall on you, and the wrath of God will be poured out against you. And eternity is a very, 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 very long time. So you have a choice to make today. Make sure you choose wisely. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, and we're thankful, Lord, that even though you knew we would be sinful, you decided to create us. Lord, we're thankful that you loved us so much that you gave us the way out of eternity in hell. You gave us a way to earn your favor and promises while we're here on this earth. You have given us a way to enter into heaven and your presence for eternity. So, Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood in my place. Lord, I pray for the salvation of everyone within the sound of my voice. Father, I pray just right now the Holy Spirit would be able to work on their hearts and bring them to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Bring them to the repentance of sin so that they will hate sin as much as you do. But Lord, I pray right now that you would bless this time of invitation. You would bless your altar. Bless your preacher, Lord, as we minister to one another. And Father, I pray for all who come to the cross today seeking salvation through the blood of Jesus. And it's in that high and holy and powerful name of Jesus Christ our Savior that I say this prayer, and we all say together, amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah.